Here begins The Pathfinder. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. The Pathfinder, or The Inland Sea, by James Fenimore Cooper. Preface. The plan of this tale suggested itself to the writer many years since, though the details are altogether of recent invention. The idea of associating seamen and savages in incidents that might be supposed characteristic of the Great Lakes having been mentioned to a publisher, the latter obtained something like a pledge from the author to carry out the design at some future day, which pledge is now tardily and imperfectly redeemed. The reader may recognize an old friend under new circumstances in the principal character of this legend. If the exhibition made of this old acquaintance, in the novel circumstances in which he now appears, should be found not to lessen his favor with the public, it will be a source of extreme gratification to the writer, since he has an interest in the individual in question that falls little short of reality. It is not an easy task, however, to introduce the same character in four separate works, and to maintain the peculiarities that are indispensable to identity, without incurring a risk of fatiguing the reader with sameness, and the present experiment has been so long delayed quite as much from doubts of its success as from any other cause. In this, as in every other undertaking, it must be the end that will crown the work. The Indian character has so little variety that it has been my object to avoid dwelling on it too much on the present occasion. Its association with a sailor, too, it is feared, will be found to have more novelty than interest. It may strike the novice as an anachronism to place vessels on the Ontario in the middle of the 18th century, but in this particular facts will fully bear out all the license of the fiction. Although the precise vessels mentioned in these pages may never have existed on that water or anywhere else, others so nearly resembling them are known to have navigated that inland sea, even at a period much earlier than the one just mentioned, as to form a sufficient authority for their introduction into a work of fiction. It is a fact not generally remembered, however well known it may be, that there are isolated spots along the line of the Great Lakes that date as settlements as far back as many of the older American towns, and which were the seats of a species of civilization long before the greater portion of even the older states was rescued from the wilderness. Ontario in our own times has been the scene of important naval evolutions. Fleets have maneuvered on those waters which, half a century ago, were as deserted as waters well can be, and the day is not distant when the whole of that vast range of lakes will become the seat of empire, and fraught with all the interests of human society. Even though it be in a work of fiction, of what that vast region so lately was, may help to make up the sum of knowledge by which alone a just appreciation can be formed, of the wonderful means by which Providence is clearing the way for the advancement of civilization across the whole American continent. Beginning of The Pathfinder. Chapter 1. The turf shall be my fragrant shrine, my temple, Lord, that arch of thine, my censer's breath the mountain airs, and silent thoughts my only prayers. Verse attributed to Moore. The sublimity connected with vastness is familiar to every eye. The most abstruse, the most far-reaching, perhaps the most chastened of the poet's thoughts, crowd on the imagination as he gazes into the depths of the illimitable void. The expanse of the ocean is seldom seen by the novice with indifference, and the mind, even in the obscurity of night, finds a parallel to that grandeur which seems inseparable from images that the senses cannot compass. With feelings akin to this admiration and awe, the offspring of sublimity, were the different characters with which the action of this tale must open, gazing on the scene before them. Four persons in all, two of each sex, they had managed to ascend a pile of trees that had been uptorn by a tempest to catch a view of the
sample complete. Ready to continue?